The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
John chapter 11 tells us what happens when Jesus encounters the death of someone that he loves, Lazarus. And our congregation has just gone through a death ourselves. Not a literal death of a body, but the death of a relationship. Our director of family life, Danny Vogel, has stepped down from her position. And what that has meant is the children in Sunday school, whom she has nurtured and loved, have had to say goodbye. The youth who have been planning adventures with her have had to say goodbye. The small groups which she has overseen have had to say goodbye to someone that they love. And while it may not be the death of a body, it feels like the death of a relationship. And today, in this gospel, we hear three different ways that people respond to a death. And I will say I've seen all three responses in our congregation over the past 2 weeks. The first one, it's to check out. Jesus' disciples, they say, wait a minute, you want to go see Lazarus down in Bethany in Judea? Why would you want to go down there? Just now, the Jews were trying to stone you. Why would you go back? And I want to clarify something for a moment, because this is a moment in time when there's sort of a heightened sense of anti-Semitism in our world. I want to explain that when our Gospels use the word Jews, it's like using the word Yankee here in the United States, right? If you go overseas and someone says, oh, that's a Yankee, what they mean is that's an American, right? It's a generic term for all Americans. But if you're here in the United States and you say that person's a Yankee, what you're saying is that person's from a very specific part of the United States, right? The Northeast, New England. And there have been moments in history in which some Americans might not get along well with Yankees in particular, yeah? And it's the same thing that's happening in this gospel. Because, you see, Israel has different regions, just like the United States does. And I've got a map here, which I want to pull up. And on this map, you'll see that Jesus and his disciples are from the north, Galilee. But the big city, where all the money and all the power is at, it's down south, in the region of Israel called Judea. And as you might be able to tell, the word Jew literally comes from the people who live in Judea. A Jew is literally someone from Judea. We use the term today, as people who aren't Jewish, to refer to anyone of the Abrahamic faith, right? An Israelite to us is a Jew. But to the people who were living in ancient Israel, a Jew was someone from down south where the money and the power was. Jesus was not one of those people. His disciples were not those people. And so when they say, wait, you want to go back near Jerusalem where the Jews are trying to kill you? This is not a statement about all people of a certain religion or all people of an ethnic group. This is a statement about people who live in one region of a country versus people who live in another region. And so they're nervous to go back down to that region because they don't trust the people down there. And they don't trust, ultimately, that God is going to protect them if they go back down there. And so their decision is to check out, to say, you know what? Lazarus is down there. He's having a problem. That's his problem. I can't trust that God's going to take care of me if I go down there, so I'm just going to take care of myself and stay up here. And I will say there has been some of that, although I'm grateful to say very little of that in our congregation. Some people have said, well, the director of family life is leaving. I'm not involved with family life ministry. That doesn't involve me. I'm just going to step aside and not worry about it. But there's other ways you can respond, and we see this in Jesus' disciple Thomas. And the second way you can respond is to step in. Thomas says, okay, Jesus wants to go back down to Judea where they're trying to kill him. Well, let's go also so that we can die with him. Which doesn't solve anything, but is an incredible act of love and devotion, right? It's a way of saying, well, we can't trust God to see Jesus through this, but you can trust me, not to solve the problem, but just to show that I am loyal, even when God is not. And I will say, in the most positive way, I have also seen that in the past couple weeks. Right, Danny chose the moment she did to leave because her apartment complex is getting completely renovated and she had to move out. I know of at least half a dozen of you who have stepped in and said, I will help you find another apartment where you can live. I know at least two families who've said, come and stay in our home while we go travel. Right? For a whole month, Danny has, a whole month to come, Danny has a free place to live because you have stepped in and said, I will provide this for you because you have need. Like Thomas's act, it is a beautiful act of love, but like Thomas's act, it ultimately doesn't change the reality that the death is coming. And so there is a third response, and that is Martha's response. And instead of checking out or stepping in, Martha maybe mouths off is the wrong word. We'll just say that's it. So she mouths off, right? She says to Jesus, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Let's just call it what it is. You messed up, Jesus. Now we've got a death. You should have solved it. And then she says, but even now, Lord, I know that whatever you ask, God will give you. So you can fix this, Jesus. You can fix this by doing what I want you to do. And I will say, this has been my response, yeah? In this past 2 weeks, it's like, God, why is this happening, God? God, I have a plan to go on a sabbatical in a month. I could really use a director of family life. You couldn't have made this whole apartment thing happen, like, after I got back from my sabbatical? That would have been really convenient, God. Or, God, if you're going to do this, maybe you could get me a new director of family life right now, yeah? Because I got plans, God, and you're not working out with them. So maybe, God, I should just step in and do your job, I often think that if the ancient pagan Greeks were right about the gods, I would have gotten zapped by a lightning bolt long time ago. Yeah? Praise God that Zeus is not my God, but Jesus is. Because when Martha has this response to Jesus, hey, Jesus, this is all your fault, but you can still fix this if you do what I tell you to do. Jesus' response is one of complete grace. He says to her, Martha, your brother will rise again, which is a way of saying, hey, it's all going to be okay. And Martha's response is, yes, I know that my brother will rise again on the last day in the resurrection, which is to say, yes, someday it's going to be fine, Jesus. Someday this is going to all work out. I know that, but that's not right now. Right now I've got grief, and right now I've got problems. So is God only good in the future? Is God not good right now? To which Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am, present tense. The resurrection and the life that Jesus gives, it's not someday. It's right now. And he asks Martha, do you believe this? And here's what I love about Martha. Having just mouthed off to Jesus, right? Having just told him that he showed up too late, that he didn't do his job, and that she can tell him how he should do his job right. And Jesus really not really wanting to play along. You might guess that Martha's not in the happiest mood in this moment. You might guess there's some anger, some frustration, some grief. And in fact, next week we'll hear what she does next, which is to say she's going to take a break from talking to Jesus and go find her sister and say, hey, you talk to him instead. Yeah. But in the midst of all that, Martha still says, yes, Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. Because you see, faith isn't just a feeling. It's not an emotion. And what that means is you can have all sorts of emotions and still have faith, right? You can be angry at God and still have faith. You can be disappointed in God and still have faith. You can say, God, I just really don't want to talk to you right now, and still have faith. Because faith is trust. It is trusting Jesus. It is trusting Jesus enough that you will follow him. wherever he calls you, even when he calls you to walk through death. And friends, that kind of faith, that kind of trust, to follow through with whatever Jesus calls you to, that does give life. And it gives life right now. This is what Paul is saying to the Romans. He's trying to say, look, death and resurrection isn't some future thing that happens to our body. It is a reality that we experience right now in our spirit. Because Jesus is calling us. He's calling us to follow him through death, to die to the self that we know. And follow him to discover a new self that is full of life we can't even imagine yet. And we can do that even if we aren't happy about it. And I will say, in the past 2 weeks, I have seen exactly that happen with all of you. Because here's the thing. Dani, she was preparing to take our youth to New Orleans, to a national youth extravaganza to celebrate the larger church. And now she can't do that. And for some folks, there was a temptation to check out, and maybe some did, but there were also some people who heard the call of Jesus saying, follow me. Follow me and help these youth get to have that experience. And one of you followed through and said, I will take a week off of work and take Danny's place to make sure that our youth can experience that time in New Orleans. And Dani, her role was to oversee small groups. And I will say, your pastor is also about to take a sabbatical, and so there's kind of this recognition of, wait a minute, who's going to help us gather and share our faith? And many of you might have tried to step in and say, well, we could prevent Dani from leaving, or maybe we can convince Pastor Ben he shouldn't take a sabbatical now, right? We can make it stop. But in the midst of those feelings, some of you heard a call from Jesus saying, the people of faith still need to gather to share the good news of God with one another. And you heard that call, and you followed through. In the past 2 weeks, 7 of you have agreed to lead small group, book groups, or lectures in the 12 weeks that I will be on sabbatical. Most of all, what Dani has done in this congregation is nourish our children and build up our Sunday school. And with her leaving, many of us have been angry with God, unhappy about this situation. And in the midst of all those feelings, some of you heard Jesus say, our kids will still need someone to love and encourage them and let them know that Jesus is there for them. And last week when we asked you to get background checked so you could be a part of children and youth ministry, you followed through. 37 of you got background checked last week. 37 of you said, this place has grief and death in it, but I'm going to trust Jesus enough to follow Jesus into that place of grief and death and find what life is waiting there for all of us. When Jesus hears that Lazarus, whom he loved, is sick, Jesus says to his disciples, this sickness, this illness, it doesn't lead to death. It is so that the Son of God might be glorified by it. Danny's leaving has been a blow to this congregation. And I don't know exactly what the future of Faith Lutheran or our family life ministry will look like, but I know this, that this does not lead to the death of our family ministry. This is so that the Son of God may be glorified. Because the mystery of our faith is this. On the cross, Jesus reveals that what is so obviously bad from our perspective, God can use for good. That what should be a curse, God can turn into a blessing. And that is even true with death. For Jesus died on the cross and was buried in the tomb, But hallelujah, Christ is risen. And if we have been united with Him in a death like His, certainly we will be united with Him in a resurrection like His. For hallelujah, Christ is risen. And today after worship, I'm going to give a presentation on the sabbatical that I'm going to take. And I'm going to talk about all the things that I'm going to do, but then I'm going to share the things that you have followed Jesus into doing. And in the courtyard, there's going to be a whole other conversation about what we want to do with Sunday school moving forward. And I will tell you this, as excited as I am to do all the things that I get to do this summer, I am so excited to see all the things that you will do in the coming months. Because by myself, I'm just one person. But you all together, you are the body of Christ. And hallelujah, Christ is risen. So may we follow that risen Christ and rise as we are able as we sing praises to those faithful servants of God. Amen.